Sunday in the church year. We get to talk about false teachers, false teachings, false prophets, and God gives us all kinds of warnings. Beware, beware. There's a lot of nasty stuff out there. The Good Shepherd takes care of his sheep. And we pray that God would richly bless us as we hear his word and receive his gifts today. Our opening hymn, number 666, and it's that number on purpose. O little flock, fear not the foe. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. The readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus, the Word made flesh, who came to live among us, to suffer and die in our stead, to rise victorious over sin, death, and the grave, and to win eternal life for all mankind. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you deliver this good news of the gospel to us. Heavenly Father, tune our ears and our hearts so that we hunger and thirst for the pure word of God, for your truth today, tomorrow, and forever. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, for us. Amen. Hymn 666.
Thank you.
Please stand as you're able. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Blessed, beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
We have thought on your steadfast love, oh God, in the midst of your your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the end of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, within her citadels, God has made himself known as a fortress. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgment. This is God, our God forever and ever. He will guide us forever. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the end of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Be to God on high,
and on earth be needs goodwill toward men. We praise thee, we bless thee, we worship thee. We glorify thee, we give thanks to thee for the great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father,
pray. Grant to us, Lord, the Spirit to think and do always such things as are right, that we, who cannot do anything that is good without you, may be enabled by you to live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the eighth Sunday after Trinity is from Jeremiah chapter 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. For who among them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see and to hear his word? Or who has paid attention to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest. It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intents of his heart. In the latter days, you will understand it clearly. I did not send the prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, then they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can a man hide himself in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall there be lies in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? And who prophesy the deceit of their own heart, who think to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, even as their forgathers forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual as printed on your insert.
Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Holy Gospel and the Alleluias.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The seventh chapter.
Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 192.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated for the hymn of the day, number 745, In God, My Faithful God, number 745.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Dear Christians, Jesus gives a dire warning to faithful Christians in our gospel lesson for today. Beware of false prophets, for they come to you dressed in sheep's clothing, but inside they are ravenous wolves. Beware. Watch out. Avoid them. Why? Well, consider what Christ has said. They are wolves. What would a wolf do when he snuck into a flock of sheep? Why would he work so hard to get in a particular place, to kill, to destroy, to murder, to hurt, to tear apart bodies and consume them, leaving behind nothing but dead, dry bones? A wolf seeks to end life for his own pleasure. This is the picture our Lord paints for us this morning. But of course, our Lord is not merely talking about wildlife, sheep, and wolves. He's talking about Christians and false prophets, respectively. Beware, our Lord says, false prophets will sneak in with false teaching for the sole purpose of destroying the faith of a Christian, to lead them into a false faith, a faith that cannot save, a faith that will only end in the fires of hell forever. Beware of false prophets. These false prophets come to us in disguise. They appear to be friendly. We often take them for granted. We don't treat them with caution. After all, they are disguised to look like fellow sheep, fellow Christians. They might even tell you that they are Christian. They might point you to the holy things they think they've done. They might talk in religious talk. They might use the same terminology that you use in talking about theology. They might pray, "Lord, Lord," while they smile, but underneath, they're wolves, and they're intent on destroying your faith. Beware of false prophets. So how do you tell what is a false prophet and what is not? How can you be sure that the pastor you're listening to is a true and faithful pastor and not a wolf intent on destroying your faith? Jesus tells us what to watch for. He says, thorn bushes don't grow grapes. Thistles don't grow figs. That's true of fruits, Jesus, but what about prophets? He says, judge a prophet or a pastor upon their fruit. What fruit does a pastor or prophet give? The fruit of a prophet is this: a prophet proclaims God's word. A false prophet does not. A true prophet isn't free to add or subtract from God's word. A false prophet does so all the time. A true prophet is given to give all of God's word in its fullness. A false prophet picks out particular passages and ignores others. A preacher is given to speak the word given to him in the Holy Scriptures, no more, no less. Anyone who does anything otherwise is a wolf. Beware of false prophets. So, if a pastor preaches God's word in its truth and purity, he is bearing fruit that proves he is a true Christian preacher, and this feeds your faith. God's word, that is. But if a pastor preaches his own opinion, if a pastor preaches what's popular or politically expedient or based upon any source except for God's word in Holy Scripture, he is hurting your faith the same way that a wolf hurts a lamb. Yes, even beware of the pastor who softens down and lightens up the reality of God's word, who denies that there's a hell, or who tells you that it's empty, who ignores the hard topics like death, and who's timid about the truth. Beware these false prophets. Judge them by their fruit. There's a catch here. To judge a prophet by his fruit means something must be true for you. To judge a preacher, you must know what God's word says. You need to know the scriptures well enough to be able to see through falsehoods preached by any pastor, even me or Pastor Poppy. This has implications for your families. Husbands ought to sacrifice themselves for their families by being extra diligent in God's word, so that they do not allow their family to hear false teaching. Not only that, husbands should be in church each week with their families, listening to the pastor's words and talking to him when he believes the pastor said something wrong, asking him to show them by scripture where that teaching is. Parents together ought to make sure their children aren't hearing falsehoods from friends or on TV shows or even on the music they listen to. Or sadly today, as so often happens in the public school. As a side note, that's why we have a Christian classical education school here, so that children may learn the truth of God's word. College students need to make wise choices about where they go to church during their studies. They need to find a church that teaches what God's word says in its truth and purity, even if it means driving a little further on Sunday mornings or having to go to bed earlier on Saturday evenings. Churches should be all about the word, even more than they are about having a fancy name. Synods must be united in the word more than politics or by health insurance plans. Pastors can never stop learning the word because God never stops teaching it. Hymns should be theological, whether they are a catchy tune or not. Worship should be reverent, not casual. Beware false prophets, Jesus says. This means that you, dear Christian, need to search for a church based on God's word and not be distracted by the flashy distractions and show. If God's word's not there in its fullness, you shouldn't be there either. Don't become enamored with churches that talk about branding or rebranding. If God's word isn't present, you shouldn't be there either. Don't look for a church because they've named themselves in a hip postmodern way. If God's word is not present, you should not be either. Look for the word, the fruit of faithful preaching. Beware of false prophets. Judge them by their fruit. Just so we're clear, it's not only Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, or Jehovah's Witnesses that we ought to be wary of. Yes, these groups are false teachers, and clearly, it's not just TV preachers or prosperity pastors or those with smiling faces at the local Barnes & Noble that we ought to beware of. Any person who preaches or teaches contrary to God's holy word, you should be wary of. Even if they have the letters LCMS attached to them. There are false preachers everywhere, disguised as wolves, or disguised as sheep, but really wolves inside. Beware of false prophets. Why have we so belabored this point? Jesus tells us in the gospel lesson, beware of false preachers because of what awaits them and those who listen to their words. Jesus says, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. God will punish those who deny his word. He will uncover all the wolves in sheep's clothing on the last day, revealing their guilt in their denial of his word. He will cut out all the raucous disturbances and shiny distractions. He will remove the fancy cars and the three-piece suits, and he will judge faith only on the last day. Faith that comes by God's word, not in the way the world wishes. Faith that comes by God's word, preached, read, studied, inwardly digested. Those without the word will be thrown into the fire, cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's what awaits the false prophets who are in our midst. And so our Lord will say on the last day, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness, and to hell they will go. And hell will be very full. Beware of false prophets. Beware. And you who hear the word, you in whom the word has created faith, you will be blessed on that last day. Yes, the word calls out to you to create and sustain faith within you. The Holy Spirit is always attached to that true word and comes for you as a helper, a paraclete. The word calls out to you and points you to your Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled for the forgiveness of all your sins. The word points you to the Lord who loves all of you so much that death upon a cross was not too steep a price to pay for your redemption. The word declares to you the truth that Christ rose from the dead for you, and that in him you too shall live forever in God's kingdom, a place of peace and comfort and joy. The word promises this to you. Yes, dear Christian, Jesus loves you. That's why he warns you to beware of false prophets. It's the same way that a parent warns their child out of love. It's love that's behind a parent telling their child, don't play in the street, you might get hurt. Don't touch the stove, it's hot. Don't use drugs. Go to church. Love is behind all of that. And in the same exact way, it is love for you that causes the words of our gospel lesson to be recorded. It's out of love for you that Jesus says, beware of false prophets and long for the true word. Listen to the true word of Scripture, because it is where Jesus speaks directly to you. Hear the word as it is in the divine service liturgy, how time and time again it declares to you that Christ has had mercy upon you, a poor, sinful being, and how it declares that he has given up his life for you and rose from the dead for you to grant you peace beyond measure. Sing the word in the hymns of the church, knowing that in them the truth of Scripture is taught in such a way that it can be easily memorized and always accessible in times of need. Listen to sermons from faithful pastors, pastors who don't promote themselves, but instead get out of the way of what God wishes you to know. Watch faithful pastors preach, hiding their personalities and their opinions beneath vestments so that they might not distract you from hearing God's word. Listen to faithful pastors as they point you to the God who is the way, the truth, and the life, and who rescues all of us from the lips of liars and deceivers. Look for the word where God promises that it will be attached to plain water to become baptism for the remission of your sins, attached to bread and wine so that you might eat and drink the body and blood of Christ. Look for the word in the absolution that declares to your ears time and time again the truth. You are forgiven for the sake of Jesus. That's the word of God. Hear it. Believe it. God really loves you that much. Don't allow that false prophet a free dwelling place in your mind, ever whispering in your ear, your sin is too great, you've not done enough, you've not given enough. Listen instead to the word of Jesus, the word that speaks the truth. Dear Christians, God loves you. He's given you life here. He's given you a world that he's created for you. He's died and rose for you. He sent his word and recorded it for you in the Scriptures. You live in a time where there are more access points to God's word than at any other time in the history of humanity. Bibles in every hotel room, dozens in our houses, a Bible in every pew of the church. Hear the word. Study the word. Because out of his love, Christ has given you his word. Beware of false prophets and love the preaching of true prophets. Those who would have you know nothing else but what God says. For in that true word, Christ is really present for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by standing and singing together the offertory found on page 192.
Please be seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus, our true shepherd, who brings us into the green pastures of his truth. At this time, we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that God's good news of truth, which leads to salvation, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. In addition to the prayer requests that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Good Shepherd member Rebecca Povish, who is recuperating from surgery, and Good Shepherd member Ben Simnett, who is anticipating surgery this week. We pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For the Mount Zion of Christ Church, that she would think on the steadfast love of God in the midst of his temple, praising him for the salvation given through Jesus Christ, which is received through his holy word and precious sacraments. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase in faithful church workers, that the good news of Christ's perfect life, sacrificial death, victorious resurrection, and glorious ascension would be proclaimed in all parts of the world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithfulness to God's holy word, among pastors called to preach and teach it, that false doctrine would be recognized and rebuked, and that pure doctrine would be taught and received for the edification of all the baptized in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Spirit to turn the hearts of all false prophets and pretend believers, that they would be led to repentance and faith. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all life, from womb to the grave, that it would be cherished and protected.
Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For humility among the faithful, that they would interact with the world as sinners who have been redeemed by Christ the crucified, not out of pride or arrogance. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have been placed in authority over us, that they would steer clear of self-promotion and focus on the common welfare of us all. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick, the suffering, and for all who desire our prayers, especially Ben, Rebecca, Mark, Barb, Victor, Marge, Daryl, James, Linda, Harlan, Katie, Susan, Tish, Ralph, Tim, Ruth, all those who are mourning the loss of loved ones, those who are dealing with chronic pain or illnesses, those who are shut in and unable to attend worship. That they would receive healing, comfort, and be strengthened to endure according to God's gracious will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who receive the Holy Supper of Christ's true body and blood this day, that they would receive the forgiveness for all their sins and be filled with His life and peace. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and now rest in Jesus, let us give thanks to the Lord. That we would, by God's grace, remain steadfast in the faith until we are brought to join them in the feast that never ends. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
Continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy.
Oh,
pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Continue with the Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand.
Lord, now let us out thy servant depart in peace according to thy word.
For I
have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with our spirit.
Bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 582, God's Word is Our Great Heritage. Be seated. If there's ever a short little hymn to memorize, it's that one. How can you be aware and on guard for false teaching and teachers?
by knowing the Word of God. God's Word is our great heritage. Thanks be to God. Kids know the routine. Go get some goodies, and we'll be back in here in about, 7 or 8 minutes or so for Sunday school opening. The rest of you are invited for goodies as well. One opportunity for Bible study this morning. We picked up our Romans Bible study again last Sunday, and we're going to be looking over the next couple of months at Romans chapters 4 and 5, the great justification chapters in the book of Romans. So that'll be lots of fun. Next Sunday is Sunday School Rally Day, so we have lots of extra things planned for that day. I'm not exactly sure what all they are, but that'll be Rally Day next Sunday, the 18th of August. On Tuesday of this week, here at Good Shepherd School and Preschool, we have our first day of school. Opening school chapel will be Tuesday at 8:15, or as close to 8:15 as we can get started on the first day of school. You're all invited Tuesday morning at 8:15. We have a couple of other significant events coming up on August 19th. The LWML ladies are hosting a very, very important presentation about the sex trafficking that goes on in the world and even in our own community. Title of that is I've Got a Name. Posters all over. There's more information in the news and notes. Check that out. Wednesday, August 21st, will be the beginning for midweek and confirmation classes. We are encouraging parents to consider getting their kids started earlier. The earlier the better, then we don't run into so many middle school and high school activities. If your third grader can handle the material, that's a good time to get started. Four-year program, parents and student meeting on Wednesday, the 21st of August. Then the next week, Wednesday the 28th, will be our first official class, and also that'll be the evening that choir begins here at Good Shepherd, and the choir practice will be during that confirmation time, about 5:15 to 6:15 or so. And last but not least, got another blood drive coming, insert in the news and notes, Friday, August 23rd. We had to change the date due to a scheduling conflict here at the church, so make sure you have that date down, Friday, August 23rd. We have a few of our devotional books that are in the back. Help yourself to those. Also, a few portals of prayers that are left, and that'll be a great way to be in God's Word and fending off the wolves and the false teachers. Pastor, anything else? We're not going to let the vicar talk. He's too new. Yes, Mrs. Barefoot. I'm not going to say it. There's an insert in there. Saints fans hate the Falcons. Right, Aaron? Thank you. All right. Come join us for coffee and goodies and a study of God's Word. Have a great day and week in the certainty, in the truth of Christ and His Word.